Now, Michael Rubbo is one of Australia's best known and safe to say, best loved documentary filmmakers. He has a very personal style, which leans heavily on acknowledging the filmmaker as an important element of the story, and it's always hit the right notes for audiences. Now, outside of his documentary work, he, of course, developed A Race Around the World for the ABC, kickstarting more than a few careers there. And he directed a number of children's feature films, including the award-winning Vincent and Me. Now, surprisingly, it was this film that reawakened a bit of a love of painting for Michael, and his book Travels With My Art lets us into that very, very personal artistic world. Michael, a very good morning to you.
Hi, Nick.
Now, I just absolutely know how much you've been aware of the role of a storyteller within the story that they're trying to get across, but that's a very different to such a personal look as this memoir.
Well, the memoir came about because, as you pointed out, I've really been a filmmaker all my life, but also I've done this painting on the side, perhaps just to get out of the dark of the editing room, but also very much because I made the film about Vincent van Gogh, and he set me off on sort of painting outside. But I was wondering, what does this all add up to? I mean, I've never sold these paintings. I have them all in a shed. And I thought, time to put them together and see, you know, what they look like and see what stories they tell. So that's what Travels With My Art is.
And they tell quite a few stories. You've basically broken down nearly every individual painting and talked about the circumstances around it. But I kind of enjoy when you talk about how much you enjoy getting out. And, you know, you just said then getting out of the editing room. But you really enjoy fresh air painting, and you really enjoy people coming up to ask you about your art, which I found unusual.
Yes, I do. I don't know quite why that is, because you'd think it would be a distraction when people were talking to you. But I actually find I paint better if somebody's looking over my shoulder and engaging me in completely irrelevant talk. Somehow it works better. But, you know, it's very it's a very euphoric process. When I'm not being talked to, I get into a sort of a zone as my brush darts between the canvas and my eye looking up. And sometimes I even forget to breathe.
Oh, dear. Now, you also take us through basically art as your personal family history, because there's quite a lot of family relationship with art, wasn't there?
Yes, my grandfather, whose name was Antonio D'Attilio Rubbo, came to Australia at the beginning, just at the end of the 19th century, and set up an art school in Sydney. And he was very flamboyant and very passionate, and recruited a lot of students, many of whom became very, very famous in Australia, like Grace Cossington Smith, Roland Wakelin, Roy De Maistre, Lloyd Rees. These were all his students. And so he really has been dubbed, I think rightly, as one of the fathers of modernism in Australia. Now, he died when I was a little boy, so I can't really say that he influenced me that. But the story about him and his reputation really was something that came on into my life.
I think on the other side of that, you also look at the role of art as instigator of social change.
Yes, to some extent. The last 5 years, I became passionate about cycling. Not cycling in a sporting way, but cycling as transport, very much as they do in Europe. I love the sort of sit-up posture that you'll see in Amsterdam with people laid back and just one finger on the handlebars, their hair streaming in the wind. I love all that, and I decided that there was really no bicycle art that I could find, and so I started doing a lot of liner cuts and drawings about this beauty of the body on the bike, you could say, and very much an advocacy thing in saying that, you know, as well as the sports cycling culture that we have, we need this more sedate, stately cycling culture, and sort of as a propagandist, really.
Well, it was one of the more interesting chapters in the book was when you start looking at cycling art, because it did make me think that there's not really an Australian tradition of cyclists in art.
No. I don't know why that is. It's a great opportunity that we should be. I would like to see cycling statues around the city, for example, as a memory jog for people that they ought to be on bikes.
I think what got me all up, though, was just the varying styles you've gone through with this book, but how much you've enjoyed that very Van Gogh swirl.
Yeah, well, that was the inspiration. And I'm very lucky, of course, that just now they've released this masterpiece called Loving Vincent.
Beautiful,
which,
isn't it?
They've done 66,000 copies of his work to tell his story. I only did 30 copies when I made my movie, but I went down that same path a little bit 30 years ago, and so I know all about that. And I just have one quibble with that film, and that is that everybody who goes to the Vincent story always tells the dark side. And of course it's there. You know, you can't deny it. Craziness and sadness and lack of love and all of that. But on the other hand, the guy who did 800 paintings in 10 years, many of them outside, had to have had times of great euphoria and happiness. That perhaps doesn't make for drama. It's a very private thing, perhaps. But I reckon if I could meet Vincent and say, well, what was your life like? He would say, gee, I had a lot of fun.
And we forget that, don't we?
We do.
Michael Rubo, it is an absolutely beautiful book. It's called Travels With My Art. It's a very unusual and interesting angle on your life, a life that I think has affected a lot of Aussies in terms of the amount of work you've done. Thanks so much for chatting this morning.
I'm having a launch at Glebe Books on December the 6th. That's a Wednesday night. So I hope that people will come.
I hope people come too. We'll make sure all of those details are up on the 2SER.com website. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Nick.